Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you find yourselves listening. Welcome back to the 23rd recording, where we're moving into a story of another incredible female in our lineage and also for the world. Lady Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet alayhi salam. And we're on page 112 in the book, if you're following along, the degree of the woman in the religion of Islam. We finished the chapter on Mother Maryam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Chapter is entitled Lady Fatima, the Blooming Rose. May Allah be pleased with her. Radiallahu anha. As-Sayyida Fatima Az-Zahra was the fourth daughter of the noble house. She lives in Islamic history in a way that none of her sisters do. She was born 5 years before her father received Allah's message. It was Allah's will that she was born the same year in which the Quraysh tribe had chosen her father to judge in the intense dispute that rose around putting the black stone in its place after renovating the Kaaba. Her father received the happy news of her birth, and a big celebration occurred that Makkah had never known before, as people were not used to celebrating the birth of female children. Her father had a celebration in her honor, even though she was the fourth daughter, and he did not have a son. Fatima spent a happy childhood enjoying her parents' love and her sister's care, especially Zainab, the oldest, who was like a young mother to her until Zainab was married to her maternal cousin, Abi al-As ibn Arabi. After Zainab's marriage, her other two sisters, Ruqayya and Kalthum, were also married to their cousins, the sons of Abdul Adi ibn Abd al-Muttalib. It was hard on Fatima to have her sisters leave the house one after the other. Fatima could not easily understand the wisdom behind marrying and leaving one's parents and siblings. She continued to think about this for many days and nights, and it left an emotional impact upon her young feelings and her virginal heart. The circumstances that surrounded the prophet's family at that time had a great influence on strengthening these emotions within Fatima. Her father was absent from this lower world, often spending time in retreat, worshiping, contemplating. And when he was at home, her mother was busy taking care of her beloved husband. And when he was away, her mother's heart went with him. At the same time, her three sisters were busy with their marital lives, and Fatima was left almost alone with her thoughts, which slowly began to influence her emotions. Fatima found a brother and a friend in her cousin Ali ibn Abu Talib, who was chosen by her father to live with them as a son. He was 4 years older than she, and except for her shyness, she would have talked with him about her thoughts regarding marriage. And whenever she tried, she would become tongue-tied, and her shyness would prevent her from talking. Then the great event took place in which her father was sent to convey the divine message. And Fatima's life changed. Hers was no longer a life of ease, but one defined in part by her father's prophethood and role as the messenger of Allah. Except for his, sallallahu alayhi wasallam's, faith in the real and the support of a few who were subject to discrimination for their faithfulness, he faced the resistance of the Quraysh alone. Fatima stepped into the heavy duties that came with her position as the Prophet's daughter. It was a strong awakening from her happy childhood, yet she readily accepted her new life. These events moved her toward greater independence, though she was not yet 15 years old. Fatima no longer felt lonely as she had before the Prophet's mission, because the message united the faithful believers. She was united with Muslim sisters by a tie stronger than blood. Every member of the Prophet's household left all personal worries and gathered around the new religion, the religion of unity of one Lord, who they all worshipped and to whom they prostrated without association of any partners to him. Fatima was happy that Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiallahu anhu, was one of the first three to accept the message of Islam. He was like a dear brother to her, and she did not want the new religion to separate them, or for Islam to be a gift for her that he would not accept for himself. She could not imagine that he would leave the house of the master of mankind and join the group of rejectors who denied the truth and acquired Allah's wrath. She also wished that the Shaykh of the Hashimin, Abu Talib, would surrender, because she thought of him as her father thought of him when he said, quote, My uncle, you are the most worthy of my advice and the one to whom I should call to guidance, and you are one who truthfully responds to me and supports me. Fatima also wished that her cousin Abu al-As ibn Arabi, the son of her aunt Hala, would surrender to Allah's message. He was the husband of her dear sister Zainab. In fact, she really wished that her whole tribe would surrender to the message, because they were her father's relatives and the closest ones to him. She knew that Her father did not want to separate himself from them, and it was difficult for him to see their enmity and stubbornness. But Allah wanted to test the Prophet's family and cook them in the pot of afflictions. Allah wills, and His will is the highest, that His chosen messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would be the highest role model, with clear creed, strong faith, clear advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored Fatima, Muhammad's daughter, with great fortune through noble pain. He decreed that she face great afflictions from the time of her early childhood, and he chose her from among her sisters to live long enough for her father, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to have his last breath and be joined with the lofty assembly. Alhamdulillah, Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah. She was worthy of this honor and distinguished state because of who she was. Her youthful departure from her peers and childhood games enabled her to follow her father closely in the heart of the struggle as he walked among his people, calling them to Allah, giving them good news and warning. She saw what he faced in order to convey Allah's message, and how the transgressors plotted against him, and how the foolish harmed him. She was close to him the day he arrived at the corner of the Kaaba, and she saw how the polytheists jumped on him as though they were one man surrounding him. They degraded and insulted and scolded for his rebuke of the practices of their forefathers, his effacement of their gods, and his exposure of their vain illusions. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did not back down, but affirmed his earlier statements. Yes, I did say that. Fatima tried to comfort herself as she saw one of the men pull the Prophet by his garment. She was so scared that she could not move, and Abu Bakr ran to stand between the men and the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and questioned their behavior. Are you going to kill a man because he just declares, my Lord is Allah? They turned to Abu Bakr with flames of anger coming from their eyes, and dragged him by his beard, and they refused to let him go and began to hit his head on the ground. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was forced to leave the sacred house, al-Bayt al-Haram, and Fatima followed him. She witnessed everyone hurting and insulting him until he arrived home, and he covered himself on his bed, shaking from the intensity of what he had experienced. On another occasion, Fatima was standing close to her father, and her eyes were upon him, and her heart was with him as he prostrated in the sacred house. Quraysh polytheists were standing around him, and suddenly Uqba ibn Abi Ma'it threw dirt at his back. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not rise from his prostration, and Fatima went forward, removed the dirt, and she asked Allah to protect her father from that man. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then raised his head and began to supplicate to Allah, saying, O Allah, be in charge of Quraysh, be in charge of Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, Utba ibn Abi Rabia, Uqba ibn Abi Ma'it, and Abi ibn Khalaf. The polytheists were humbled by his supplication. They lowered their gaze until he finished his prayer and with Fatima returned to his house. A few years later, Fatima saw all these men who had attacked her father dead on the field on the day of the Battle of Badr. Fatima was also present the day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to speak the message publicly, as expressed when Allah says, "And warn your closest tribe." He went out and began calling, "O people of Quraysh, by yourselves, because I cannot protect you from Allah. O children of Abd Manaf, I cannot protect you from Allah. O children of Abbas ibn Abd Muttalib, I cannot protect you from Allah. O Safiya, the apostle's aunt, I cannot protect you from Allah. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, ask for any of my wealth and I will give it to you, but know that I cannot protect you from Allah." This is an authentic hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began by calling the Quraysh, then the children of Abd Manaf, who were his closest tribe, then his uncle Al-Abbas and his aunt Safiya, and last he called his daughter Fatima. And at that point, the warning message was culminated and the admonishment became strong and clear. If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not protect his own beloved daughter, then no one else could expect him to be a protector instead of Allah. In an authentic hadith, it is narrated that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fatima is a part of me. Therefore, whatever harms her harms me, and whatever bothers her bothers me." In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There are four virtuous women in this world, and they are Maryam, Asiya, Khadija, and Fatima." And in another hadith, it is narrated that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to Fatima, "When you are satisfied, Allah is pleased, and when you are angry, he becomes angry." Ibn Jawr said, "Many people have told me that Fatima was the youngest daughter of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most beloved to him." We'll let that be the closing today on page 116. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.